from Matthew chapter 28, and we're going to begin with verse 16. But if you've read chapters 26 through 28, there was a lot going on. There was a lot of opportunity for things like confusing observations and things that were happening around them and in moments of conversation. And in these moments, this is the question. This is the question this morning. In moments of confusion, in moments of distraction, how many of you like clarity? Right? Get all the clarity? Yeah, I mean, we'll take as much clarity as we can get in moments like this. You know, there's a phrase here at the Vineyard that our staff and leaders have embraced. And the phrase is simply this: clear is kind. Clear is kind. Today, I believe Jesus, in this passage, Matthew 28, is being both clear and kind as he extends his authority to include all of his followers, each and every one. I told you to turn to your Bibles, but I'm going to read from a passage that you won't find in a Bible anywhere because it's a free translation from N.T. Wright. N.T. Wright is one of my favorite theologians. I love reading the works that he's written, and he's been so helpful with me, or to me, in my own following life of Jesus. And so this is a free translation, Matthew 28, verse 16. All that means is simply this. It's what he has, being a scholar of original languages, what he has decided, or how he has given us translation of the original language into the English language. So listen up. It's a little bit different. If you're following along, you'll see what I'm talking about. Verse 16, so the 11 disciples went off to Galilee to the mountain where Jesus had instructed them to go. They saw him and worshiped him, though some hesitated. Jesus came toward them and addressed them. All authority in heaven and on earth, he said, has been given to me. So you must go and make all nations into disciples, baptize them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. Teach them to observe everything I've commanded you. And look, I am with you every single day to the very end of the age. We're talking today about God's authority guides our mission. God's authority guides our mission. Jesus today speaks kindly and clearly with great invitation to walk with him in this world, to call unto him, let your kingdom come. Let your will be done. We just prayed that, right? Let your kingdom come. Let your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. I'd like to just point out a few kindnesses today that I find in this passage. And simply this, it's really straightforward. You could read right over it. The first kindness that's extended to the disciples is this, verse 16. In verse 16, it says simply this: they know where to find him. In fact, he never gets tired of telling us how to find him and where to find him. In this instance, previously, already three times, Matthew 26, 32, 28, 7 and 28:10, he's already said, hey, don't forget to tell my disciples where they can find me. In a moment of chaos, in a moment of confusion, in possibilities where their world is being turned upside down, he says, don't ever forget, you know where to find me. There's this powerful thing that happens on mountains. Just read Matthew. There's all these kinds of wonderful meetings on the heavenly mountains where God meets with his followers, and this is one of them. Jesus says, don't forget, you know where to find me. You know, there's some suggestions that I could give you we're probably not going up to any mountain to find Jesus today. That's actually where they found him. But let me suggest some ideas and places that we can find Jesus today. We've already engaged in two of them, prayer and worship. Personal prayer, personal worship, prayer in community, and prayer and worship in community. We find Jesus there. We find Jesus in the Scripture. We find Jesus in fasting. We find Jesus in community. We find Jesus in reflection and meditation. And don't get too scared about reflection and meditation. Simply, all I mean there is God-centered thought that is honorable and true about who He is and what He's doing in the world. You see, these practices of finding Jesus are not recent and they're not new. They're as old as the story itself is. We always know places to find Jesus. The second kindness that I see in this passage is that Jesus received them with a warm welcome. Verse 17, he says, "There they saw him and worshiped him, though some hesitated." Now, part of the confusion there that's happening with hesitation is simply this. Jesus died on a cross. He was buried and dead. He was resurrected. And then he comes back to life and he shows himself to the disciples. And one of the things is that they were a little bit confused because they possibly would have understood that this really wasn't the conquering king they had anticipated. So they're still trying to figure this all out, right? What does this king resurrected, what does it really mean and what does it look like? And so some of them perhaps hesitated because their worldview was being challenged. Jesus was supposed to be the conquering hero, and yet at this moment they're not sure how he's going to be that. But the beauty in that simply is the kindness. Jesus received their worship, but he wasn't turned off by their hesitation. He wasn't turned off by their hesitation. You know what he did? It says he closed the gap. He stepped toward them. You know, this is where we find Jesus all the time. When we're looking and wondering and waiting, when we're confused and when we're hesitant, Jesus never waits for us to make the first move. He's always moving toward us. He comes close to the brokenhearted. He comes close to those who are in great need. You see, the kindness that they received that day was Jesus' warm welcome of them. The third kindness that I see is simply this. What Jesus gave them in that moment was the clearest revelation they had ever had about who Jesus is and what he came to do. If the disciples haven't heard what Jesus has been saying, just begin in Matthew 1 and read all the way to 28, and Jesus is regularly telling them, "Guys, this is who I am, this is what's going on, this is what we're doing, and I'm inviting you to join me in it." But it's interesting that there's a lot of confusion at times about what Jesus is up to. Jesus helps us all out, and each and every one of us need to hear this clear revelation that was extended to the 11, because this Jesus is also extending this revelation to us. Jesus makes it so clear when he says, "All authority has been given to me." Verse 18, Jesus came toward them. He closed the gap. He addresses them. "All authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me." We talk about what that authority might be, and simply because Jesus walked in authority, he's one on mission. He's been pointing out to them that his authority and mission were appropriate in this world. It's the purposes for which he was sent into this world. And here's just a few insights from each of the gospel writers that I believe help us in understanding clarity regarding the mission that Jesus was on. And so indulge me for just a moment. I'm going to run through really quickly Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, and some highlights that I see of Jesus saying, this is who I am, and this is what I'm doing in the world. Matter of fact, the first of these in Matthew is simply to me. When Jesus' birth is being talked about, and Mary and Joseph are trying to figure it out, and Joseph's saying to himself, what am I going to do? Betrothed to this woman, and now I discover she's expecting a child, and God begins to speak to him in this process. And so God's speaking, and he speaks to him, and Joseph finally says, okay, I'm going to do everything to honor Mary, and I'm going to do, God, everything to honor you. And here's what it says, verse 22 in Matthew 1, he says, and all of this wrestling took place to fulfill what the Lord had said through the prophet, the virgin will conceive and give birth to a son, and they will call him Emmanuel, which means ho. Before he's even arrived, the promise is he is with us. And then Jesus, Matthew 16, talks about discipleship, and he talks about the cost of following, and he simply just says this, whoever wants to be my disciple must deny themselves, take up their cross and follow me, for whoever wants to save their life will lose it, but whoever loses their life for me will find it. The mission Jesus is on is life-giving. Everything he's about is life-giving, but the cost of life-giving relationship is everything. Everything. Mark says, as Jesus was walking along the seaside in Galilee, he saw Simon and Andrew, and they were casting their nets into the lake because they were fishermen. And Jesus says simply these words, come, follow me. Come, follow me. I think that got their attention. Like, I don't know what Jesus looked like, but I don't imagine he was looking much like the fishermen that they were usually hanging around. But he didn't just stop there. He said, come, follow me, and I will make you fishers of men. Fishers of men. And at once, they dropped everything there and followed Jesus. I love what Luke says. Remember the episode, Jesus had gone with his parents and they were going down to worship, and on their way back, Jesus got away from them and they were looking for him. They couldn't find him. And when they found him, they found him in the temple. You remember the words of Jesus, perhaps, if you're familiar with those words? Jesus, I think, you know, a young guy is like, well, why were you guys so worried? I mean, like, why were you searching for me? The inclination, didn't you know I needed to be about my Father's business, about my Father's work? These stories all tell us that Jesus is on mission with God. And then I love a couple of things in John. Jesus was being harassed on the Sabbath day. And so he replies to the religious leaders who are harassing him. He says, my Father is always at his work to this very day, and I too am working. For this reason, they tried all the more to kill him. Not only was he breaking the Sabbath, but he was calling God his own Father, making himself equal with God. In verse 19, Jesus says this in answer. Very truly, I tell you, the Son can do nothing by himself. He can only do what he sees his Father doing. Because whatever the Father does, the Son does also. Jesus' life was lived in obedience and humility to the Father. If you read other passages in the Scripture, not just obedience and humility, but empowered by the Holy Spirit. Empowered by the Holy Spirit. And as he walked that way, I just highlighted some things in Matthew where Jesus shows authority. This does not cover everything, but it covers lots of things. Jesus walked in authority and obedience to the Father under the power of the Spirit, and these are the things that happened. He teaches with incredible authority. There's Matthew chapter 5, 6, 7, 8, there's this wonderful thing, the Beatitudes and this teaching, and Jesus is teaching all about it. And when he gets finished with all this teaching, the crowd says of him, wow, this guy teaches like nobody else we've ever heard because he teaches with powerful authority. That was authority accompanied by the power of the Holy Spirit. Jesus had authority to teach. Do you know that Jesus never had to reference anybody? Right? I mean, you paid attention to that, right? He never has to say, I was reading the commentary, and I heard this wonderful thing. No, he had relationship with the Father, and he was receiving from him by the power of the Spirit in humility and obedience, and he taught powerfully. We just continue. He had authority to heal. Leper comes to him in Matthew 8 and says, Lord, if you're willing, you can heal me, make me clean. Jesus reached out and touched the man, and he said, I'm willing, be clean. And immediately the leprosy left him. In humility and obedience and the power of the Spirit, Jesus had authority to heal. Matthew chapter 8, later on, Jesus has authority over the winds and the waves. They get on the boat and the disciples followed him, and suddenly they're in a furious storm, so serious that they were afraid for their lives. And you know the part, they were afraid for their lives. And what was Jesus doing? He was sleeping. And they say, well, don't you really care about us? Like, Lord, save us. We're going to go down. He replied to them in this moment of chaos, you of little faith, why are you so afraid? He gets up. I always envision rubbing his eyes just a bit, and says, be still. And the waves and the winds were completely calm. The disciples had a wonderful response. What kind of man is this? Even the winds and the waves obey him. Keep reading in Matthew 8. Jesus had authority over evil powers. Another way to say that is Jesus had authority over demons. Matthew 9. Jesus calls the evil spirits out of the pigs. And they ran over a great cliff. Jesus said, go, and they went. And the freedom was there. And finally, this is one of the interesting things about Jesus, and I always wonder how it might apply to us today. Jesus has the authority to forgive sin. There was a paralyzed man that was brought to him. When Jesus saw the man, he said, take heart, son, your sins be forgiven, or are forgiven. At which time the religious leaders said to themselves, this fellow's blaspheming. Ha, I love it. Knowing their thoughts. Revelation. Knowing their thoughts, Jesus said, why do you entertain evil thoughts in your hearts? Which is easier to say, your sins are forgiven, or to say, get up and walk? But I want you to know that the Son of Man has authority on earth to forgive sins. So he said to the paralyzed man, get up, take your mat, and go home. With those words, the religious leaders were confused and know that they have been encountered by someone greater than them. These are just some of the authority that is given to Jesus. This is some of the authority that Jesus is inviting us to in humility and obedience by the power of the Holy Spirit, because God delights in guiding us on the mission to which he has called us. And that's where I want to go. The fourth kindness is simply this. We have received the words that Jesus has given, and the words that Jesus have given are clear guidelines and instructions to the way we live in this world. In this missional moment, Jesus invites us with great clarity to follow him under his authority in humility and obedience, empowered by the Spirit. Let me just read the whole text again. So the 11 disciples went off to Galilee, to the mountain where Jesus had instructed them to go. They saw him and worshiped him, though some hesitated. Jesus came toward them and addressed them. All authority in heaven and on earth, he said, has been given to me. So you must go and make all nations into disciples. Baptize them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Teach them to observe everything that I've commanded you. And look, I'm with you every single day to the very end of the age. Let's talk a little bit about what Jesus means when he says, I give you authority. You see, Jesus is giving us kingdom authority and kingdom responsibility. Just for a second, if you can go all the way back to Genesis and the creation, in whose image are we created? God. With whose breath have we been filled with life? Who now sends us on mission together? We have authority. Let's unpack the word just a little bit. This is just help from, you know, the old dictionary. Merriam-Webster, Webster. Some help, right? Authority to us is one who's appointed, someone selected for a position and role. Are you a follower of Jesus? You're selected. If you're a follower of Jesus, you're positioned. You've been appointed with the authority that comes from him. Authority, we recognize this one really quickly, is you're authorized. You've been given official approval to act. to act under the oversight of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Authority means that you've been empowered. Authority, empowered, is to give someone the power or authority to do something. We have the authority and we have the power to do something. It's very clearly outlined. We've not only been appointed, authorized, and empowered. Interestingly enough, Jesus says of all of his Father, you're nominated. Officially suggesting that all who follow him are chosen for this position of service and ministry in the kingdom. This is our life together. In Jesus' authority, we have a place that's been entrusted to us. We've been placed in a place of confidence. He has confidence in us to perform the duty, the ministry, the service to which he has called us in humility and obedience and Holy Spirit empowerment. And here's what it looks like. Jesus' authority to proclaim the good news of the kingdom is continued through his people, and they act on his behalf. And we are those who have been sent. So we are the ones who go. Go. What does that mean? Here's what I think at least part of what it means. Wherever you find yourself, go. Go. Be ready to engage others with the love and goodness of Jesus. Be merciful and kind. And making, as we're on our way, making disciples of those who receive the good news. See, going doesn't necessarily mean that we cross continents. Going means that as we're on our way, wherever it is we're going, that we just don't forget that we go empowered by Jesus to tell the source of our hope in this world, because Jesus is the source of our hope in this world. So going means opening your mouth and speaking and declaring the goodness of God in your life. I can hardly see you. I need my brim of a hat so I can actually see you today. How many of you have a story? How many of you have a story of Jesus meeting you, right? Jesus meeting you. Provision and healing and life and comfort and peace. Yeah. You see, when we tell those stories, don't bury the headline. This is Jesus at work, and it's my own personal experience. That's going. Going. Yes, maybe you'll go to another place and space, to another continent, to another people, to a language that you don't know, and you'll have to speak through an interpreter, and God will use you in those moments. Yes, 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 and yes. All of these things can happen together. Going means opening our mouths, and proclaiming our source of hope in this world. Then he says, baptize. I love it. Baptize. In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, we say, buried with Christ and raised to new life. Welcome to the new family of God. Have you ever been to a baptism here? You've seen one or baptizing? Sometimes it's the preachers who do that. I get the privilege of baptizing, and our people on staff and preachers get to do that. But you know who else gets to baptize? The community. Have you been here? Right? You've been here and you see somebody other than the pastoral staff baptizing someone. That's the beauty of it. You lead someone to Jesus. You have a relationship with them, and you get the privilege of baptizing them, rejoicing with them, celebrating with them that they have been buried with Christ and raised to new life, and they now proclaim wherever they go the good news of God. I'm almost finished. He says, teach. Teach. The simplicity of teaching for me is this. You can't give away what you've not been given. You can't give away what you've not been given. This is why when we pray and when we read Scripture and when we worship, we're paying constant attention to what God is doing inside of us internally. He's speaking to us regularly. My new favorite quote is from a gentleman I would give reference to if I could remember his name, but I can't. And he says simply this: it's amazing to see how much God has to say whenever you talk to Him about everything. It's amazing to see what God has to say when you talk to Him about everything. How do we just capture those moments of talking to God? It's in the Scripture, it's in our prayer, it's in our worship, it's in our service. How do we take note? How do we write those things down? How do we pack them away in our memory? Because this is what teaching is. You can take the Scripture and you can talk to somebody about it, and then you can talk to them about how you've experienced this very thing in your life. And if you haven't experienced it, you might have a longing that you can tell them about. I haven't experienced it yet, but I believe it, and I'm praying radically for God to show up and do it in my life. Go, baptize, teach. And this is the favorite ending of all endings. As you go, as you baptize, as you teach, Jesus says, don't ever forget, I am always with you. Every single day, I'm accompanying you to the end of the age. And I can't help but imagine that Jesus didn't have John in the back of his mind when he said, it's good for me to go away, because when I go away, I'll leave with you the Comforter, the Holy Spirit, who will be with you always and remind you of all the things I've said. It'll be good for you because now I'll be with you always, and the power of the Spirit will be in you and with you and before you and behind you and beside you and above you and beneath you. This is the way we've been called into authority. Hear Jesus say to you, all authority in heaven and earth have been given to me. It's not in the text, but it's implied. I give it to you. I give it to you. I want you to stand. God's authority guides our mission. He's clear and He's kind about what He's called us to do. From the very beginning, He's invited us to be co-laborers with Him. And so today, I just want to pray for us to be awakened by the goodness of the Holy Spirit to the reality that we are on mission with God. This missional moment is to be awakened by the Holy Spirit. No longer see yourself as insignificant, but in humility receive all that God has for you as His child. He's called you in His kindness to use your gifts to love and to care and to serve in unique ways, because you can carry the gospel in ways that I cannot. And each of us differ in so, so many different ways that we will all reach other people, and we will go together reaching and calling to the nations of the earth, who, by the way, have come to our backyard. You can go to the nations of the earth and not leave Houston. I should have looked up how many nationalities are represented in the greater Houston area. I wouldn't be surprised what the number is, because it's a lot of people. The world is right here around us. But we open our mouth, make ourselves available. We radically have faith in God to do what only He can do, because He is the one who speaks through the Spirit, because no one can call Him Father except by the Holy Spirit. We just get to tell the most incredible story ever.